Bible lesson this morning is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." The inspired word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. This upcoming February, I took a turn in my life in a new direction, and I decided to boldly go, not where no man has gone before, but just to boldly go. It started with Ethan, our youngest. He was born in November of 1999, and I had went back to teaching in January of that next year. After having been off for 5 months, I was off for the summer and then off in the fall for some health reasons, was not able to go back to teaching. When I went back to work in January, our family was struggling to hold it all together. If you are a family who has more than two children, the moment that you are outnumbered is the moment that trouble comes in, right? When they outnumber you, that's when there's trouble. And we were doing our best to keep the house clean and put a meal on the table that was healthy and not fast food. But for the most part, we discovered it was really more than we could handle. It was evident in our lives that one of us, Dale or I, needed to make a change so that we were more available to our children, knowing that as they went into school, and we already had one in school, that would bring with it more challenges, more activities, more help with homework. And so I was the logical choice. I went to my principal. I was teaching at Clear Lake Middle School. I was teaching middle school science. And I went to my principal and asked if I could reduce my full-time job to half-time teaching. And he said yes. Not after I had to check for a little bit. But he was able to say yes because it was at a time when schools were starting to experience the first big budget cuts. We're neck deep in it now, but at that time in 1999, 2000, it was at the beginning of those budget cuts. And so a half-time salary was able to start with some of those budget cuts the district needed. And so for 4 years, I taught in the morning and was home with our kids in the afternoon, picked them up from daycare early, and was there when our son came home from school. And in that time, our family kind of came back into alignment. As I said, it was a time of new direction, because you see, at the same time that we were struggling with needing for me to go part-time, the pastor of my church came to me and said, I think God wants you to be our Christian educator here at the church. We're creating a new position, and we'd like to offer you the job of 10 hours a week. And I was just thinking, well, we were just at the point where we were trying to reduce the amount of time I was working, and he gave me the opportunity to bring the kids to the church and to work with them, with me there, knowing that a priority of my being available to the kids was something that he thought was important as well. And so in the midst of all of that, I resigned my teaching to halftime and started working for the church, and God had asked me to boldly go, and so I boldly went. After 4 years of doing that, though, it was kind of hard because if anybody was ever a teacher or still are, teaching is not 40 hours a week. It's more than that, right? And so when you cut it in half, it's not 20, it's more like 30 or 40. And Christian education became less, became more than half-time as well. And so after 4 years of kind of burning the candle at both ends, God called me to quit my teaching job and do Christian education. And so for 1 year, I worked part-time. Ethan was in preschool, and he got kind of the time that he needed as the third child who never got parent time. You know, if you've got three, the third one doesn't really get much. And so I stand before you today. This is my 10th year being under appointment as a pastor, and God continues to call me and guide me and tell me to go forth boldly. There are times in each of our lives when God calls us in some way, shape, or form to boldly go. Life, after all, my friends, is a journey. And each of our journeys are different. We got to hear about Gail's journey. Nobody has a journey like Gail's. Gail's is personal and specific to her. But you all have stories like Gail's. You all have opportunities where you've seen God at work in your life. And you're all here today on this Sunday in worship in this place because God stirred you in some way, shape, or form to be here. God wanted you to be here, and you're here for a variety of reasons, whatever the reasons. Each of our journeys is unique, and spouses, husbands and wives, journeying together their whole lives have different journeys. I have spent decades together and yet traveled in different directions alongside one another. But there's always one constant. There's always one thing that remains the same in all of our journeys and in our journeys with our spouses, with our significant others, with our friends, with our families, and that is that God is the consistent in all of our journeys. In today's reading, the psalmist says, reminds us that God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble. Each stage in our life is another step in the journey of life. And every step and every part of that journey, God goes with us. God promises to be our refuge and our strength. Gail, I'm going to guess that God was your refuge and your strength. Looking back, you didn't know it till you look back, right? Looking back, we say, boy, God was there in that most difficult thing. God calls us all in this journey of life to boldly go and to go without fear. Because it says, as he goes on, that we are to go without fear. And yet that's difficult because fear enters in all things that we are about. Fear is something that we try to push away and yet creeps in at all different times. In the ups and downs of life, there's this opportunity to go, and there's this opportunity to go with the grace of God with us. Traveling for business, some of us do that. Some of us have lost a dearly loved spouse or a friend or a family member. Some of us have had a birth of a child, the wedding of a son or a daughter. Those are times when we boldly go and God goes with us. There are times when we're struggling financially or struggling with our health. Maybe a dear one is a soldier a long way from home, a divorce, getting a new job, going to college, finding a new church. The trials of life are there for all of us. Even in the good times, we've all had challenges in our life. But God doesn't want us to be hopeless in the things that are coming our way. God doesn't want us to think that there is no hope, that we should fear. After all, God is our refuge. That gratefulness that we feel in our hearts is because God is our refuge. Ever present in times of trouble. Ever present. No matter what, we just sometimes forget to look for God, but God is ever present in times of trouble. These are powerful words. And yet, sometimes we feel like there's times when God was not present. Right? Sometimes we just feel like God is not present. It's important to look back, as Gail has done for us. She's looked back and said, God was present. God was in these hard things in my life. And as we look back and see where God has been present, as we look back and see God's faithfulness for us, that time of refuge, it is then that we can put our trust in God in the days and weeks and months and years to come. God calls us to boldly go into God's presence. And when we do that, when we boldly go into God's presence, it is then that we can put our whole trust in God. Putting our trust in God is what helps us get through the worst of times, the worst of storms, the most horrible things that can happen to us. When we put our trust in God, that's when we are able to move forward through those tough times. And yet sometimes the path that God leads us on is not overly comfortable for us. It may even include a path of pain and suffering. And still, no matter what path we take, God promises to be our strength and our refuge, to be with us every step of the way. One thing that God doesn't promise for us is that God will make it easy. That is not one of God's promises. But God's promise is that God's never, ever failing presence will be with us. And we must find comfort in God's presence as we boldly go, as we put aside worry. My friends, we cannot predict the path that God will lead us on. We cannot, we don't get to know what the future holds. We don't get a crystal ball that tells us what's going to happen next. And yet, we're called to be vigilant in our faithfulness. We're called, as we said, it's often in the looking back that we see where God has been faithful. And it's important to note those faithfulness and to be grateful and to name them for people and tell them about it. God calls us to be in God's presence. I hope that you will return to God's presence every day, that as you wake up in the morning, you come into God's presence through prayer and scripture, and let the peace that God has for us, the peace that passes all understanding, to come upon you so that you can take a step each day as you deal with the grief, as you deal with the problems in your life, the financial issues, the family problems, the challenges that we have, because it's God's presence that touches the deepest parts of our lives. Every fall, and today we're experiencing it for the really well, as the cold winds of winter approach, we see that flocks of birds are heading south, and actually about 4 days ago, I think they got the message and said, okay, go now, because it's going to get really cold. Just get going. And they head to this milder weather. There's no map to guide these birds, and yet they confidently fly south to the refuge that they know awaits them. That's what God calls us to do, to not know necessarily where God's going to take us, but to boldly go into God's presence and trust that God will guide us to that gentler place. There are times in our lives where we sort of fly south symbolically, where we fly away from the hopelessness and the grief and the despair. If we need to do that, we should do that in God's arms. God will be the refuge for us. And God will give us gifts of goodness and mercy and compassion. And all God asks in return is that we say, yes, I will boldly go. I will go in your presence. I will trust. The last part of our scripture reading today, in verse 10, I like how Ron read it. Be still. He was just very bold in that. I love that. I'm going to read it a little different way because I want you to enter into God's presence. The scripture says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Be still. Be. My friends, my prayer for you is that you will be in God's presence. presence and let God help you boldly go through life. As God is the one constant, even when everything around us is changing. Let us pray. God of all creation, our lives and our future are in your hands. Guide us, protect us, and fill us with your presence and your peace as we boldly go. Come into the brokenness of our lives, the brokenness of our land, and bring with it your healing love. You are indeed the God of all, and for that we are grateful and give you thanks. Amen.